We had big doings this morning from the Little Hockey Club next door to our radio station. And to discuss these moves, it is our oldest and bestest hockey friend, Owen Newkirk.
Mr. Owen.
Hi, Owen.
I always love the weather out there.
Perfect. Heavenly.
I don't like to use the word hate a lot, but I have a strong dislike for you guys because of the weather right now.
I know. I know. I get it.
I'm very happy for you.
I really am. Good.
As I've often said, don't hate, congratulate.
Yeah.
Yes. And congratulate for timing it perfectly. My family, clearly made the wrong choice when we thought we could squeeze a trip to Maine in July, and we get back to Dallas, and everyone goes, you know, it's not been that bad so far this summer. And
yeah.
Then the triple digits just smacked us in the face.
That will happen.
Welcome to life.
So the whole NHL has been all over the place today, of course, as the signing window has opened. And the Stars active, in fact, very active today. Lots going on. Certainly the Ryan Suter news is probably grabbing the headlines, but we also have some goaltending upheaval. So I want to present you our forum to kind of tell us what we need to be thinking about from this first day of signings. But frankly, with the Stars cap situation, it's probably also the last day of significant moves, but maybe not. What do you have?
Yeah, you know, this was interesting because I felt like I went through the gauntlet of emotions watching this unfold this morning as we saw first the Ryan Suter news. That wasn't really that surprising, exciting, but there had been some rumblings over the last few days that Dallas was one of the teams in the mix, and clearly we all knew that they needed to fill the hole vacated when Jamie Oleksiak signed with the Seattle Kraken. Okay, by the way, having the little nugget to entice a free agent that you have Miro Heiskanen as a possible D partner is definitely a sweetener, I think, in some circles. And in this case with Ryan Suter, that's probably exactly what it is. So for that, I wasn't really surprised. But the goaltending side of it with Braden Holtby came out of, at least for me, again, I'm not in the room with Jim Neal and his group. That was completely out of left field.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you on all of those fronts. Let's go back to Suter for a brief moment. And I wanted to ask you, the Joe Pavelski relationship with Ryan Suter. I'm under the impression, given they're both Badgers from roughly the same era and are roughly the same age, I have to assume that perhaps recruitment process may have been some of Pavelski's work, but I have no idea. I'm just flying fast and loose here with the facts.
I mean, you are well aware of the native Wisconsinites. I don't even know if that's the right term, but I'm going to go.
No, it is. It works.
Okay, so there aren't that many Wisconsin natives in the NHL, but they're now two of them on the Dallas Stars. To presume that Joe Pavelski didn't have a conversation with Ryan Suter, if nothing else to say, here's what it's like here, this is what it's like with our family here. You know, Suter's 36 years old. Like you said, he and Pavelski are very similar in age. I think that would be very naive to think that conversation didn't happen, at least via text message.
I wonder if they were in the same recruiting class even in Madison. I know Suter was there very quickly and gone. I think Pavelski might have played several years there, but it's possible they were high school seniors together for all I know.
I don't think they played together, if I remember correctly. I think they just missed. But even if it was, you know, missing by a year or two, it's still, you know, the badge of the alums.
So, Owen, this is
seventh overall pick, so he was ready to go pro pretty fast.
He definitely did 1 year at Wisconsin. This is Owen Newkirk. So, Owen, with respect to what Ryan Suter has left, he is a older player, and when people hear 4 years, they get very concerned about that. I assume that fourth year is kind of ornamental, if you will. It's probably not terribly disconcerting, but you had to offer a competitive deal. Where is he as a player? Because over the course of his career, he's been a all-star caliber stud, but he also was you know, kind of carted off the ice in Dallas, of all places, this past winter. So I'm curious what condition he's in, both before and after that injury.
Yeah, Bob, I think that's a really fair question, because we saw that horrific ankle injury happen in front of our own eyes at American Airlines Center. And, you know, you hate to see those kind of things, because you want to beat great players, but you don't want them to get injured like that. And, you know, watching Aaron Ekblad go through that against the Florida Panthers in Dallas last year was a similar thing, because it's just, it's awful. You don't want to see that from anybody. But Ryan Suter played every single game for the Minnesota Wild last year. He averaged over 22 minutes a game, not quite what he used to, which was playing close to 30 minutes a night, but he also didn't have to, because Minnesota had a couple other guys in Matt Dumba and Jonas Brodin starting to pick up a little bit more minutes. But I think that's a really good sign, because other than the ankle injury that we saw him suffer in Dallas, he has only missed four games for Minnesota since the 2015-16 season began. So in the last six seasons, he's only missed a handful of regular season games. He's extremely durable, and I think the sign that he played every game at over 22 minutes a night this past year, coming off of that injury, is really encouraging. Now, like you said, realistically, as a 36-year-old, there is some inherent risk in the years 36 through 40 that you're about to offer. But at the same time, this is not some guy that's, you know, maybe going to give you 15 minutes a night. The fact that you can play him next to Miro Heiskanen, and Miro is young and fast and can do all that legwork, I think will complement very well.
So a lot of money spent here in the last couple of weeks, and I saw that they have $0 and 0 cents as far as the cap is concerned. And, you know, there's plenty of deals you can make to kind of gerrymander that a little bit. But as far as the goaltender goes, as far as Holtby goes, what are we looking at here?
Well, Corby, that's the first question when you talk about the cap hit, or the cap space, is you have three goalies right now at $10.2 million in cap hit for those three. Now, clearly, all three of those guys, I don't believe, will be on the active roster at the same time. At first I thought, oh boy, this is a signal that Ben Bishop is a lot worse off than we think, and maybe he's not going to be able to play again, or maybe there's serious doubts. I still think there are some doubts, and obviously the Stars haven't told us anything specifically, other than the other day we heard from Jim Neal that he's still rehabbing and, you know, still on track. I think this is a great insurance policy. You know, Holtby was bought out by Vancouver, so he's still making money from that last year of his contract spread over the next 2 years. If you add what he makes here and what he is getting from Vancouver, I think he's getting like $100,000 more than what his original contract with Vancouver that was bought out would actually get him. So that's beneficial. And if you get the benefit of Bishop being healthy, if he comes back and looks like the Ben Bishop that we think is a top five goalie in the NHL, then there are some teams out there that need a goalie. So, you know, as we either in the next couple of days of free agency, or even wait till training camp, Hudobin or Holtby could be used as bargaining pieces if you can figure that all out. So I don't think that the options are super limiting. And, you know, I mentioned teams that don't, that need something. Buffalo does not have an NHL goalie on their roster right now, so they are definitely shopping.
All right, Owen, we got to do quick speed round, but what do you got on the other signings real fast?
So the Luke Glendening signing is a great sort of bottom six role. He was the second best faceoff guy in the NHL. The only one who had better numbers for the amount of volume of faceoffs that he took was Patrice Bergeron, who is kind of the gold standard in faceoff circles. Glendening was number two. He won over 60% of his faceoffs taken last year for Detroit. So he was on our Zoom meeting this afternoon, and he said that he sees himself fitting in as a fourth line center and a work ethic guy. He also scored three times against Dallas, which was half of his goals last year. He said, "I'm not a prolific goal scorer," and laughed about it, but maybe the AAC is a little bit better for him. But in all seriousness, Bob, I had this Twitter discussion a little while ago, and I kind of agreed with the thought, which is, if you have Roddick Foxa, who's very good at faceoffs, and Luke Glendening as your third and fourth line centers.
Yeah.
And you could trot both of them out at the same time to start a penalty kill, which is always in your defensive zone. One's a righty, one's a lefty. One can take a little extra risk because if you get thrown out of the circle, the other one's there. It's not necessarily the main objective of, you know, a hockey game, but one of those finer details that can really help win a game in the long run.
Anything on that defenseman, or is that more organizational depth?
Yeah, that's, you know, there's two of them. So they signed Borgman and they signed Petrovic. And I haven't seen Borgman a lot because he's more of a younger guy. He's 26. Petrovic, I saw come through the San Antonio Rampage when I was in the Texas Stars and he was with, you know, I think it was the Florida Panthers was their affiliate at the time. He's a great piece for AHL depth, and he's played 260 NHL games. You know, you need a guy to call up. I think that's sort of what that's where they're going with that.
Very good. Oh, and really appreciate your time, sir, and keep us up to speed on anything going on. Give us a buzz if we need to talk with you again about any Stars development, sir.
Boys, always a pleasure, and I am filling in with Ryan Medellin on Saturday afternoon for the kick around, and he said that he would threaten me if I didn't plug our show. We've never done a show together other than when Ryan's been doing kickers, so really excited that Medellin Newkirk get a fill-in show this weekend.
Awesome. Tear it up.
Yeah, don't let him push you around in those corners.
He's a jerk.
Yeah. Stand up
for
yourself.
We're going to have a lot of hockey talk.
Okay, Owen.
We'll see you, bud.
Thanks, man.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.